Okay, so welcome everybody. Just here today for a short talk on meditation, and then I'll guide you a little bit at the beginning, and then we'll sit together for 45 minutes, and then afterwards, if you've got any questions, you can ask me. 45 minutes is enough time to think of a question when you're meditating. So I'll be having a lot of questions afterwards, eh? Okay. Okay, so it's just nice to give yourself a break and give yourself some time to dedicate a bit of time to the meditation. I don't know how much you meditate at home, but I always think it's nice just to be able to give yourself a break from the world outside. And we're really meditating for nothing, really. And we're just allowing the mind to just grow by itself, and we're just there witnessing whatever our minds has to offer us. Because I think each and every one of us has the ability to be in the present moment. Each and every one of us has the ability to experience a little bit of silence, and just allowing that to just grow over time. And so that's all we're doing here. There's no magical trick to meditation. We're just sitting here, being peaceful, being calm, and just allowing the process to happen all by itself. And all we do is we just close our eyes and we try to sit as comfortably as possible. Like, we'll get our bodies comfortable. There's no need to try to sit in a position where it's going to cause you pain. Or maybe you've heard from other people that you have to sit in a certain way, like with your back straight or cross your legs this way and that way. But what I've learned over the years is that you can just learn how to sit as comfortable as possible. Yeah. And one of the reasons why I'm sitting on a chair these days is because I hurt my back a couple of years ago. And since then, I haven't really tried to sit on the ground. But I actually do miss sitting on the ground. But then I just do whatever's comfortable for my body. So we try to get the body as comfortable as possible so we can sort of let go of the body. Because the body can be a kind of a hindrance to the practice. It's like, I don't know if you've, for beginners, beginning meditators, I think one of the problems I had was having itches in the body. I'm sure you'll probably have that, like an itchy back. Or itchy leg, or something like that. And you get distracted and you start to scratch it. I think after a while, just the mind just gets used to this sitting position and just being comfortable. And then the body doesn't sort of itch so much. So yeah, that's what we try to do, is just be comfortable with the body first. And just allow it to rest. And then when we meditate, we're putting like the energy into the knower, just to know what is happening now. And just allowing the moments of like peace and stillness to build up. And that's all we're really doing, is we're just watching the mind and really doing nothing about it, and just allowing things to kind of resolve itself. Like Ajahn Brahm talks about making peace, being kind, being gentle. I think when he says that, is also when you're looking at the mind, you're also doing nothing to whatever's in front of you. Because sometimes people, they ask about, you know, what do you do like with restlessness that comes up in the mind? Ajahn Brahm would say, oh, make peace, be kind, be gentle. But in a sense, if you can't really do that, you can just do nothing. Yeah, doing nothing means you're just sitting there watching and observing. and not trying to control what is happening in the moment, and just allowing the mind to re-energize itself. And the same thing with sleepiness. You know, we don't need to fight sleepiness. We don't need to wake ourselves up. But instead, just look on at sleepiness and just do nothing about it. How relaxing is that? You don't need to do anything when you're meditating. Because one of the reasons why we're so stressful is because we're just doing too much. And the meditation practice is the opposite of doing, is doing nothing. And in the same way, whatever problems that you may have, just this idea of doing nothing and just allowing nature to resolve itself, and understanding that these things, they don't last forever. They will come and they will go. Come and they will go. And then you'll start to see the mind just being able to be in the moment, being able to be at peace, being able to, in a sense, kind of like breathe a little bit, because there's less clutter in the mind. And that's all we're really doing, is just allowing the mind to rest and to re-energize and to kind of brighten up a little bit. And that's pretty much it. Just being able to have the patience, just to sit down and just to watch things just grow and grow and grow. And also just have the understanding that some meditations are going to be terrible. You know, sometimes you may be sitting down and then after 10 minutes you want to get up and leave. And just understand that's perfectly normal. I mean, if this wasn't set up how it is now, like you have to come here and sit for 45 minutes, in a sense you're kind of forcing yourself to do it. But that's understandable because this is the situation that we're in. But if you sort of if you're like a person who's taken the week off, gone, you know, you go to the monastery and you have all day to meditate. And sometimes when you're meditating, you sit down after 15 minutes. Oh, things aren't going well. You don't really want to do it. So in that situation, it's perfectly fine to just get up and just leave the meditation for a little while. Because we're trying to emphasize the point that we're not here to try to force the mind to become peaceful or to become still, but instead we're just allowing the mind to grow in that peace by itself. So you're going to be sitting for 45 minutes and there may be a few things that happen in your mind. Sometimes the mind maybe get a little bit of frustration, or sometimes the mind is in a good mood, it's having a peaceful sit. And just understand, that's just the way the mind works. And understand that it's not, you know, permanent. Because you can be sitting here for the first 10 minutes and you could be struggling, nothing's really happening, but then the mind all of a sudden becomes peaceful. Or you could be sitting here and you're dozing off, falling asleep, and then before you know it, the mind's waking up. But I think one of the important things is, you know, how do you wait in the moment? What kind of attitude do you bring into that moment? And like I said, you know, sometimes having this idea of just doing nothing gives us a sense of like a relaxed, kind of calm attitude towards what's happening in our minds. And in a sense, you know, what you give to your mind is what you get back in return. So if you give calm to the mind, then eventually calm will be given back to you in return. So we're just sitting down and you're just waiting patiently for the peace and stillness to arise. And with a little bit of guidance, hopefully you all can get there. And the one thing that we always try to encourage is to be in the present moment, to be mindful, just to observe what is happening, just to know what is happening, and just to sit down and just be with the moment. Because, yeah, nothing is really happening right now. You're going to be sitting down with your eyes closed. You're not looking at your phone. You don't need to be anywhere. You have all this free time for nothing to happen. I know it sounds pretty hard, and it probably is, but you can achieve sort of like a sense of having moments of nothingness happening in the mind. And yeah. And I think when you understand that, you sort of understand how to meditate. And meditation is about just building up that nothingness, that mindfulness up on top of one another. And you just keep on going and going and going and building up that momentum. And yeah, I think it is kind of true, you know. It's the attitude that you put into it in the times where you're waiting for the frustrations to pass away, or the sleepiness or the restlessness. It's this kind of attitude that you put in that gives you that outcome of a sense of calm and a sense of peace arising within one's mind. And as we, you know, as we continue on, we just find little ways to help us be in the moment. You know, sometimes we can just be a bit practical about it. We can just feel the sensations in the body as we're meditating. Now it's quite breezy. You get the wind blowing through. You just feel the wind on the skin of your body. You know, that kind of helps you come back to the moment. Or you're trying to just be aware of the positioning of your body, and that helps you come back as well. But you know, there's always like things. Touch a little bit on the breathing meditation, which is a very popular one to do. Yeah. And sometimes it helps us anchor our minds away from our thoughts. So when you're meditating and you can see your mind just drifting, you know, it's not really in the moment, it's not really still, it's being overcome with thoughts. And you see it drifting, going here and going there, and then for some reason you forget about the instructions and you don't really know what you're supposed to be doing. And that's the time to remember, what am I supposed to do? And then you think to yourself, oh, it's time to watch the breath. So you just, when you know that you're supposed to watch the breath, you've been mindful of the instructions, then you just bring your mind back onto the breath, just back onto something that can hold your attention in the moment. And we're just doing that with like a calm, peaceful attitude. And then, yeah, you just allow things to happen. Because you don't really achieve things in meditation, but you just allow those things to arise within your own mind. So yeah, so there's just a few words for you to think about, and now we can start the meditation. So what I'll do is I'll just guide you for a little bit at the beginning, and then I'll just leave you guys to your own devices. Just close your eyes. Allow the mind to just settle down. We're not doing anything now. Just taking away all control, taking away all the doing. And just allowing the mind to just to be, really. To be and to know what is happening now. Just knowing what it is, what it is to be when you're sitting down with your eyes closed. If you can capture the meaning of meditation in one moment, it would probably be this. Just being in the moment, knowing what is happening now. And just knowing the stillness and being there. And the more you can be here, the more your meditation grows. And just as you're meditating, just bring your mind into the knowing. Just know the moment for what it is. And then as you're meditating, you can start to know what silence is. Because at the moment, this room is very silent, and the mind reflects the silence in the room. And then you can just take a companion with you along this journey of meditation called the breath. And as the mind becomes silent and the knowing is there, the breath is just right there for you to watch. It becomes a companion that you take along in this journey of meditation. It's one of the nicest sounding gongs I've ever heard. Anyways, any comments, questions? Anybody? How was the meditation? It was all right. Anybody become enlightened? Anybody fall asleep? Hands up. Anybody fall asleep? No questions? No? Okay. Okay, we can finish then. I was just joking. There's some questions here. Okay, question one is, Dear Ajahn, how can I get over death anxiety? I don't know, to be honest. Yeah. Depends how severe it is, I guess. I guess the more anxiety you have over it, the harder it is for you to overcome it. So yeah, it just really depends on the severity of it. But if it's only a little bit of anxiety, I think a little bit of meditation, 15 minutes every day. I was always trying to encourage people. Just sitting quietly and just resting the mind. And then once the mind is rested, you can use that kind of energy to overcome the fear of death anxiety. But so that could help if you think of it in that way. Just using your meditation, that stillness that you've developed to help you overcome things in your life. Okay. In the terms manifestations involves meditation, the manifest of our pondering desires, is this recognized as in Buddhist metaphysics? What kind of question is that? Okay, I'll see if I can answer it. Yeah. I have no idea. Sorry, but I guess when you talk about desires, and in terms of like Buddhism and just trying to become a being who's free from suffering, desires is a cause of suffering. Yeah. So we try to let go of that. And that's why when we sort of teach meditation, if we desire for the deeper states or desire to watch the breath or desire to overcome our thoughts, then things just become a little bit more difficult, you know, the mind becomes a bit more tense. So in a sense, desires doesn't lead to sort of happiness or peace. So instead we learn how to let go of the desires and just trying to live in the moment, try not to control things, and then the peace will arise. Okay. I couldn't really answer that question, but I tried. Dear Ajahn, could you please provide some examples of what you may do when you have thoughts arise that are persistent? What technique would you try? Thank you. Okay, just like persisting thoughts, or maybe obsessive thoughts. I guess each and every one of us have that at times. And sometimes you can't really do anything about it. So my suggestion is maybe just follow that thought if it isn't too bad, if you know what I mean. Sometimes I heard, monks maybe meditating and they have thoughts about a project that they need to do, you know, whether it's fixing something or building something or something like that. And they sort of become obsessed over the thought and to the point they can't meditate. So what do? They just get out of their meditation and just go do whatever they wanted to do. Finish off that project or just feed that obsessive thought. And then because of that, the mind will just calm down. It's got its little fix. And when you sit down again, you're not really distracted by those obsessive thoughts. So I think, you could try that. If it's not like an unwholesome obsessive thought, then just feed it a little bit and then maybe it'll calm down. And then, you know, once the mind calms down, you can sort of see what's happening in the mind. The mind is calm, you can see that stillness and that peace. And I always think that the more you see the stillness, the more you see the peace, that's when you start to learn what it actually is, and it becomes like a memory or something that you can just go back to because you've discovered it. Yeah. Okay. Well, Jen, how do we skillfully relate to the passage of time? I frequently experience a type of existential anxiety concerning whether I am living a well-lived life. Just bring it back to just the basics, I think. Yeah, just bring it back to the basics, be kind, meditate. Don't be too hard on yourself. You know, if you suffer from anxiety, just learn how to accept it and just move on with life, you know. And just learn ways to deal with it, I guess. I guess each and every one of us, we have our own types of anxiety and some, you know, some people, they've learned how to deal with it. And these are the examples that you can learn from. And I think one of the things that a person told me who was dealing with anxiety was to start doing more physical activity, because that kind of helps, you know, because a lot of anxiety is sort of like created in our own minds. So to help kind of dampen that anxiety down, this person started to do a little bit more physical activity, whether it would be a little bit of walking, do a bit of work, and, you know, things like that. And I always think that it is quite important to get a bit of balance in your life, in terms of like resting the mind, like with meditation, like getting exercise, going for walks, doing sports, and also just giving yourself time to chill out. You know, sometimes if we just stay in our bedrooms all the time, on the internet, just reading things, you know, those kinds of behaviors can sort of lead to more anxiety and depression. And on the other hand, if, you know, you work a little bit too hard, you don't get any rest, you end up getting burnt out. So in a sense, you know, these kinds of like anxieties and depressions can be caused because we have kind of like obsessive behaviors where we just do one thing for too long. So in a sense, we're trying to find a little bit of balance in life. And we get this from like the Buddhist teachings of like being in the middle way. So, and you can sort of experiment that, you can experiment with that by yourself. You know, how does it feel if you lock yourself up in a room all day? And you know, you probably start to feel, oh yeah, I need to go outside a little bit, I need to go for a walk and stuff like that. And, you know, if you're working too hard, you just need to know that, hey, it's time to just have a break and just get away from it all. So in a sense, we're trying to find a balance as well. And I think that helps lead to a healthier mind. And sometimes, you know, we get a lot of questions about anxiety and depression. And I guess, you know, we all have that. We all have our negative thoughts or whatever stuff is happening in our heads. And sometimes we focus on the negativity too much. And it's like all these questions about anxiety, about depression, And, you know, we don't really focus on these things growing up, like just being a Buddhist. Like, we're always talking about, you know, the goodness, the kindness, meditation, and the topics of like anxiety and depression doesn't really come up just growing up as a monk for the last, you know, quite a few years. And one of the stories that always comes to mind is Ajahn's story about the Buddhist garden. And in order to grow like a beautiful garden, you just focus on the good side of the garden. Like, you water the roses, you take care of the natives, or whatever plants you like. And you ignore the weeds, you know, the grasses that you don't like. And you focus on what is good, and what happens is that goodness just overcomes the anxieties and the depressions in the mind. So I kind of think, like, yeah, in today's society, we're focusing too much on those issues, but instead we're trying to do things in a different way and focus on the positivities in life. Like, if you can develop more kindness, or just meditation, or, you know, those kinds of things that you learn. And don't really worry about, you know, your depression or anxiety. And then you start to notice that, you know, your mind is changing because you're adding more goodness to it. And then before you know it, the anxieties and then the depressions, they sort of fade away into the background. It's like, you know, they're in the background. They're still there in a sense, but they're not as strong, or it doesn't overwhelm your mind. But instead, because you've developed other parts of your mind. So yeah, it's something kind of like bold to say, but, you know, try not to focus on the anxiety or depression. It may make it worse. But instead, just focus on the good stuff and let that grow. And I think that's like a kind of a nice way of dealing with stuff. Because you just, you know, meditating, being kind. Well, that's pretty easy to do. Meditating, you're just sitting down, being peaceful. Sometimes when you think about anxiety and depression, it's like, oh my God, that's like so much work. So you just try a different way of dealing with it. Yeah. Yes.
Ajahn Santuti.
Yeah.
Coming back to the question on death anxiety, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have death experience, but I was just thinking, you know, of the like situations, you know, whereby you dread to face, you know. Okay? For example, okay, just example, like going to the dentist, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the anxiety only comes when it's nearer to the date, isn't it?
Nearer the gates,
yeah,
of death.
Yeah, nearer to the date of the dental.
Yeah. A little bit of anxiety there.
Yeah, the other thing is, once you're almost, you know, like going to the dentist, the anxiety goes off.
Yeah.
Don't you find that? No more, you know, you're just...
Yeah, it's impermanent. But I think when people talk about anxiety, it's causing more problems in their lives. Not just like the anxiety that you get when you go to the dentist. Yeah. It's a different type.
But don't you find that once you reach, you know, like the like going, you know, good, the anxiety is no more.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, that's for me, you know. Oh, and I talked this to one or two friends, they said the same thing too.
Yeah, some people ask for funny gas when they go to the dentist. That helps you with your anxiety. But I don't recommend that. Yeah? Yep.
You were saying about the
Oh, they want to give you the mic.
So you were talking about as you meditate, sometimes the thoughts become mm-hmm. background. I did realize it does happen. But what I've also been experimenting is the duration of the meditation also kind of affects my meditation. But what are your thoughts in not being in a rigid sense, but would you say that when you're doing longer meditation, is perhaps beneficial to your mindfulness?
Mm-hmm. You can start seeing the mind just settle down, and then you just see the ebbs and flows of the meditation practice. Like the mind can be a little bit sleepy, or it can be a little bit unfocused, but then once it settles down, it starts to get into that clarity and that stillness. And you just like stay on with it. So sitting longer, you allow for those things to happen, if you know what I mean. But it just really depends on what's happening in your mind at the moment. Because sometimes you may be sitting and things aren't going too well. But then after a while, like after half an hour, 45 minutes, then the mind just settles down and brightens up. And then because of that, you just want to sit a little bit longer. But sometimes, like I said before, you're sitting down and things aren't going too well and you're getting a little bit frustrated, then it's probably good to stop and then have a little bit of a break and then come back and sit again. But I think at the end of the day, it's just really just experimenting and just learning how to sit a long time, sit a short time, and just seeing what's happening in your mind. Any other questions, comments? No? Okay. All right. We can finish now. Okay. Oh, yeah.
For the last couple
of years. Yep. Then I get absorption. Okay. Sorry?